Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare this meeting open. Because we are gathered in your name, we have not gathered for our own purposes. We have not gathered in the flesh. We have not gathered because we just like to be somewhere. We have not gathered because we have seen other people are gathering. We have not gathered because we do not have things that we are doing in the natural. We do not gather. We are not gathered because we are just free and not busy. No. We have gathered because you have called us. And you have not called us on the emptiness. You have called us to fill us to the overflow. You have called us to fill us with strength overflow. You have called us to fill us with revelation. The word that said that those who wait upon you will not reap emptiness, but we will be kitted with strength. He said that we will mount up with wings, with strength, with fierceness as the eagles. He said that we will run and we never weary. We will walk and we will never be tired. Yes. You have called us unto strength. You have called us unto direction. You have called us unto clarity. You have called us unto supernatural health. You have called us unto equipping for the work, your work on the earth. You have called us to put us together, to bring us together, and to fill us with your spirit. You have called us unto a greater move of your spirit. We are here, Lord, with hungry heart this morning. We are here on the 16th of October 2024 to receive nothing else but that which you give. We ask therefore, Lord, that we will become deaf to the voice of the world, and our ears will be open to your own voice. We ask, O Lord, that we all will become blind to the things that you do not want us to see, and our eyes will be fully open, vibrant and sharp as that of the eagles, precise in its vision and its interpretations. We ask, O Lord, that our eyes will see all that you are asking us to see. We ask, O Lord, that the things that you will not have our heart to perceive, our heart will become dull to them. But of the things that you will have us to be full of, our heart will become extra sensitive to them. We ask, O Lord, that this morning, Wednesday into Thursday into Friday into Saturday into Sunday morning, no man will go empty. Will we all go full to the overflow? We ask for the move of your spirit on every heart, on every soul, on every flesh, that the weak will become strong, that the confused will become instructed, that the small will become mighty, that the little will become great. Oh Lord Jesus, you are the shepherd of the sheep. 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 Just like in that day we saw it, Lord, we believe it. We read it and we believe it. We read it. It was written concerning you, and we have read it, and we believe it, and we believe it. Lord, we do not only believe it, but we believe for it in this meeting. That you took of that fish and bread, those two fishes and five loaves of bread that young boy gave. Lord, we do not know the name of that young boy. We don't know the city from where he came from. We know that does not matter. Father, we do not know his age, but we know that does not matter. Lord, we do not know his complexion. We don't even know what people have said concerning him. We don't know whether he was an intelligent boy or he was seen to be a dull one in the natural. We don't know how his friends and his mates had treated him or has judged him or has perceived him, because that does not matter to you. But one thing we know, that he gave you of the little he had, and you used it to feed countless people. Lord, we are giving you our time. Lord, we are giving you our strength, as little as they are. We are giving you our voice as tiny and on earth, Lord. If we cry in this place, they will not hear us in Tanki, because our voice is so tiny. If we raise our voice to you here, they will not hear us. They will not hear us in the Gomosho, because our voices are too tiny. Lord, no matter how loud we scream, they will not hear us in Lagos, because our voices are tiny. They will not hear us outside the nations, because our voices are little. But we are giving you our little. And we know that when you do what you can do, then it will feed the nations. We know that a tiny voice in your hands is a voice for 2,000 years. We know that a little time in your presence is a time that will be significant in the years and in millennia to come. Lord, we give you that which we have. We give you our strength. We give you our voices. We give you our minds. We give you our time. You will breathe on it. You will use it for your glory. It is not about us in this meeting, Lord. It's about what you want to do. As vessels we are in your hands, we ask that you will sharpen us. You will make us to be sharp in the areas where we ought to be sharp. We will not be blunt in the areas where we ought to be sharp. And we will not be sharp in the areas where we ought to be blunt. Lord, in this meeting, we are your ongoing projects. And by the time we are done, and you are done, Lord, all the glory will be unto your name. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew now, everyone. In Matthew 9, there's a dilemma. In case you're asking, why am I here? Maybe your question is not, why am I here? Maybe your question is, why are we here? Which is a better question. Maybe your question is not, why are we here? Maybe your question is, what is this program for? What is this meeting for? Why can't we have it online? Why can't it be virtual? Why do we have to come together? And for what purposes have we come together? Brethren, I want to show you this morning that there is a challenge. We live in a world where the environment itself, the time and the age, are sought to have the authority of the scriptures. Sure, God in scripture is described as the shepherd. Jesus in John 10 describes the work of shepherding as leading the sheep in and out. Numbers 27, Moses had prayed to God. He says, let the God of all flesh, let him set a man over this congregation. Numbers 27:17. It says, a shepherd, that he may lead the people of God in and out, that the people of God be not as the sheep without a shepherd. In Psalm 23 verse 1, David rightly said, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In John 10, he came around in the flesh, Jesus himself, he says, I am the good shepherd. In 4 Peter 5, he calls him the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. The blood of the great shepherd. So God himself, Genesis 48, Jacob called him the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd that fed me. God is described as the shepherd in the scriptures. If he's a shepherd, then he feeds his sheep with nourishment. Are we together? He nourishes his sheep by himself. We have also seen in scripture that the meal with which God nourishes man is his word. That nourishing, if we see further in the course of this conference, you will observe that the nourishing involves a major part of that nourishing is that the nourishing involves giving direction. The shepherd leads. Jesus himself said, the voice of another they will not hear. My sheep knows my voice. That means the work of the shepherd is to provide leadership. But not just that. He says, my sheep knows me and I know my sheep. He also said in that same John 10 that I have a sheep also, he says, that are not of this fold. He says, I will bring them in, that at the end I will have what? One fold, so that it will be one fold and one shepherd. In other words, another work of the shepherd is to provide identity. So the work of shepherding is that amongst many other things, there is identity. Identity is being supplied. It is the work of the shepherd to supply identity to the sheep. That is why in Exodus 3, if Moses will go as the shepherd of the Lord to Egypt to restore the nation of God according to his word to Abraham, Genesis 15, to fulfill his promise in Genesis 3. Are we together? His ongoing work on the earth. So he sends Moses to Egypt. If Moses will go into Egypt, a major work that Moses will do is to restore the identity of who? Israel. So he goes to Israel and begins to teach them concerning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is the doctrine in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What is the doctrine? What is the message in that place? Why does God himself identify himself? Are we together? As the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because whatever God is out to do at that time must be seen, are we together, from Abraham. It implies I am out to fulfill my words to Abraham. That is why he meant by what? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the something I had begun in Abraham that I have shown up to what? To carry out. Because if God comes to you, Exodus 3, in the burning bush, and says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he expects you to think about Abraham. Are we together? You can't understand him or his mission if you don't think about Abraham. So you will have to go back into memory lane. What Moses had been taught about Abraham. He sees the promise. So God will revisit them at that time, Exodus 3, with the word of promise which he had given to Abraham. Galatians 3, 11 to 16, 19. Are we together? So God identifies himself first. He identifies himself. I am the God of. Then he identifies Moses. Then Moses will go to Egypt to identify the people of God. I showed you times and over that the work in Exodus was a work of identification. Because it was a nation that has lost its identity. How would their identity be restored? By teaching them the word of God. So in the word of God is the revelation of your identity. Oh, that means as beautiful as the society can be, the society is not what identifies you primarily. Oh, sure. As repute, as noble, as noble, repute, societally valid as your career or profession can be, you are not primarily identified by your career. You are not primarily identified by your what? By your profession. You are primarily identified by the word of God. As beautiful as your environment might be, it could be a rural environment, it could be your band, you might be living in the city or in the outskirts, it does not matter.
Your society, your physical geography is not what primarily identifies you. It is the word of God. Are we together? So the scriptures remains the basis of identification. So I started out saying that we live in a world where the environment, the society, are sought to have the authority of the scriptures. But it cannot. Are we together? The very first thing in the heart of the believer is to recognize the fact that I am the sheep, I'm the sheep of the shepherd. I am the sheep of his pasture. We are sheep of his pasture. We are sheep of the Lord. We are sheep of the shepherd. I am his sheep. He is my shepherd. It's the basis of identity. Are you with me? That is the basis of your identity. Married or unmarried, male or female, old or small, young or adults, graduate or non-graduate, employed or unemployed, professional in your course or in non-professional, employed or artisan, self-employed, it does not matter. African, non-African, white or black, it does not matter. It does not matter. Wealthy or not wealthy, it does not matter. Are we together? What matters is that I am the sheep of his what? Of his pasture. That is the first basis of identification. It therefore implies that the way your life goes, the choices I make in life, the way I see myself, the decisions I take in my life is built on that primary fact, that foundational fact of the fact that I am the sheep of his pasture. Is it clear, church? So my society is not what tells me who I am. Yes, I'm expected to understand my environment, relate accordingly. I'm expected to know my world, know my city, know my nation, know the age that I am living in, and relate accordingly. But look at this. You would have related with your world contrary to God's plan when you don't know who you are in his plan. If the knowledge of your identity is not clear to you, you can be sure that you are relating with your world contrary to his plan. Are you listening to me? If the knowledge of who you are, what he has made you, what he is making you, what he wants to make you, if that knowledge is cast in your heart, you can be sure that your response to your environment is not according to his plans. Amen. I said amen. So the society cannot have the place of the scriptures. We have the social media. We have the news media. The televised, non-televised, written media. Information all around. You have people around you, friends, colleagues, by virtue of your place of work, or school, or academics, or even family. There are all sorts of people around you seeking to influence. But you are the sheep of his pasture. He has your primary identity. Are we together, church? So your identity is rooted in what the scripture says. Your identity is rooted in his work, past, present, ongoing. Your identity. Your identity. So in Matthew 9, Jesus, in verse 36, verse 35, he says he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every what? Sickness. And every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was with compassion on them, because the faithful that were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Few. Now look at 38 together, everybody. Once you go. He is the Lord of the harvest, that they will send forth what? Laborers into his harvest.
Verse 38, which we just read, sending forth laborers into his harvest, is the dilemma of the world today. I don't have time this morning to do an exegesis of this text. Not this morning. Are we together? Because we are here to start the work without delay. Ezekiel church. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the what? Harvest. Are we together? So look at this. God is in an urgent response to the chaos of this world. And he has his own way of taking care of the chaos. And he sends, he calls for and sends young men and women to deal with the chaos. He equips, he calls, he empowers, he enlightens, he equips and sends. Are we together, church? This is the reason why we are here. It's a meeting of God's plan. Pray ye therefore. Observe that the concern that Jesus shared in verse 37 and 38 were shared with disciples. That was not a concern shared with the multitudes. Disciples. Inner folks. Who are disciples? Disciples are people that are concerned with the status of things. So he shares his burden with you. In other words, what we read in 37:38 is God's mission on the earth, which he shares with every man. In every generation, he has found you and I. And I will bear the body. I will bear the body. I will bear the body. Are we together? He shared his concern. He shared his concern. When Jesus feels that, oh, it looks like this person is my person. Whenever the Lord feels or has seen that, oh, it looks like this particular brother, this particular sister is interested to be around me. Do you know how he responds to it? He shares his body. He shares his body. So insight into the bodies of God is a sign of friendship. Insight, a revelation of his body, a revelation of his concern, insight into the challenges of God, God's challenge, the challenge that God is having, insights into those challenges, when they are divulged to you, is a sign that you are close. Miracles are not a sign that you are close. Are we together? Are we together? Having money is not a sign that you are close. Having influence, knowing people, being known of people, is not a sign that you are close to God. Coming forth in your profession, being forth in your class, coming out with a first class, is not a sign that you are close. Muslims come out with first classes. Are we together? It's not a sign that you are close.
having material things, having houses and cars and jeeps and a great name, being known of people or knowing people, having connections with people abroad, having getting visa, traveling abroad, all of these natural parameters are not a sign that you are close. They are not a sign that he has found you useful. A sign that the Lord has found you useful is that he shares his burden with you. He shares his concern with you. He comes to you in the night. He comes to you, or he calls you early in the morning at 6 a.m., at 5 a.m., at 4 a.m. He calls you and he begins to share his burden with you. He begins to disturb you. God begins to steer your heart. He begins to disturb you with the thoughts of his vision, of his mission on the earth. He begins to show you the challenges of humanity. He begins to show you what he's around to do. He begins to show you the work of his spirit. Are we together? That is the sign. That is the sign. That is the sign that the Lord is, look at this, using and speaking to you. Are you with me, church? So he calls his disciples. He does not share that with everyone. Oh, does he want to share that body with all the world? Yes. Habakkuk 2:14. Numbers 11:21. Are we together? Are we together? The whole earth covered with my glory. The whole earth covered with my glory. He wants to share the body with all. But not all are inclined. Not all have been restored. Not all are mission minded. Not all are ready to go. Not all are focused on his work. So he called his disciples. So this is a discipleship mission. This is a mission of disciples. This is a mission of workers. Are we together? Are we together? You know, today we say in the church, we say, I'm a worker in the church. I'm a worker in the church. Knowing to us that the biblical definition of a worker is a disciple. A disciple. One who is being trained and groomed. And the essence of discipleship is continuity. You have not been discipled if you will not go forth in the mission of Christ. To preach, to teach, to disciple, to plant. Someone say to plant. Say to plant, to preach, to teach, to heal, to plant. That is it. He calls his disciples. This is the body of God. He says the harvest is what? Plenteous. The harvest is what? Plenteous. The laborers are few. Observe the background of that text in 36, where he says, they scattered about as sheep having no what? Shepherd. This definitely is from the Old Testament books. The sheep having no shepherd. Then he says, the laborers are few. That means the first identity of God's shepherd is that he is a laborer. He calls his shepherd laborers. Men who toil at the work. A laborer is someone who toils at the work. When it comes to laboring, there is no minute part of the task. The same attitude is deployed. A laborer is a laborer. Whether the task is seemingly simple or hard, he labors at it. So at the end, he gets everything done. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So God's shepherd, Matthew uses the word laborers. Laborers. Look at John's gospel. Quickly.
chapter 4. John 4. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, look at verse 35. In verse 32, are you all there now? Look at this. He says, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? I have meat to eat." Observe earlier on, he has sent his disciples out to get food. He has sent his disciples out to get food. Then, just after sending them out, he came by the well. And then he met a woman of Samaria there. A Gentile. Someone who needs the gospel. Someone who needs the message. A lost soul. A lost sheep. He beats the woman. And he preaches to the woman. And he converts her. And she went forth to preach. An encounter with Jesus makes you like him. If it's Jesus you have encountered, we will know. We will know if you encountered a charlatan. We will know if the one you have encountered is just a busybody. Let's just do church because people are doing church. We will know. We will also know if you have encountered a genuine ministry of Jesus Christ. Are we together? He will turn you into a shepherd. He will what? He will turn you into a shepherd. Because he himself is a what? He is a shepherd. The shepherd there is called the laborer. He will turn into a laborer. Because himself toils at the work. Jesus is a toiler. The Jesus I know in scripture is a toiler. The Jesus I know in the scripture is a laborer. The Jesus I know in the scripture is a servant. The Jesus I know in the scripture is a shepherd. A toiler. A laborer. The one who exerts himself to get God's work done. Another Moses. Another Elijah. Another David. Another Abraham. He toils. He labors. He gives himself to the work. He gives his time to the work. He gives his attention to the work. He is not in the work part-time ministry. He is not in the work part-time. A statement we have to review. Part-time ministry. A statement we have to review. Are we together? A statement that needs to be examined and restored. Is there really anything like part-time? That statement, part-time ministry, is it biblical? Are we together, church? Because we have done the convenient and we have seen less results. The Jesus in the scripture is a laborer at God's work. So he gets back his disciples in 31. He says, in the mean, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, do what? Eat. Someone say, eat. He was hungry and tired and thirsty. Then he came and said, eat. They brought the food. Pastor Ejeun. They brought the food. They brought the food. They brought the food. I'll show you from this text later on. I thought he just finished evangelism. Maybe he could have said, I'm not eating because he was yet to evangelize. But this was after evangelism. The body follows you every time. The body follows you how? How often? Every time. Every time. The body of the ministry follows you. It's there with you. The body to pray, the body to preach, the body to teach, the body to go back to follow up. To follow up those that have received the gospel. Look at Paul's approach. By the time you look at the book of Acts, you observe the approach of the apostle to the people he had preached to. His approach was as though he was yet to preach to them. Zealous to go back to them. Burden every time. Someone say burden every time. You can't be smiling every time. The burden. See, the burden of God has a facial expression. Are we together? The burden of God has an attitude to it. The burden of God has an attitude to it. The zeal of God. Zeal has emotions. 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 Zeal has what? Emotions. Zeal has what? Emotions. Zeal has what? Emotions. Serving God is with emotions. You serve God with your 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 emotions included. Your emotions are involved when you are serving God. Your emotions are involved when you are serving God. A laborer, he also labors with his emotions. To toil with something, it means your heart is there. To toil with something, it means your heart is there. I tell someone, I said, the only do or die work that we have is to preach the gospel. To have money is not do or die. To get married is not do or die. To have children is not do or die. Are we together? To preach the gospel is do or die. Is it a church? It is. It is. It's a lifelong commitment. That's what I mean. A lifelong commitment to preach the gospel, to spread the message, to establish his kingdom in hearts, among nations, tribes, continents, every space, color, tongue. Are we together? Are we together? Everywhere. So I say everywhere. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. With all your might. With all your mind. With all your heart. Means your emotions are involved. A laborer. Pastor Ejeon. The food is here. After the outreach. The food is here. Look at what it says. Said unto them, I have meat to what? To eat that you know not of. Observe that the meat they brought in was for satisfaction. Right? Because that's how you see the text. I have meat to eat. He's telling you, I have another thing that satisfies. A greater satisfaction. A greater satisfaction. Someone say a greater satisfaction. Therefore said the disciples unto another, and then the man brought him out to eat. He said unto them, look at this. My satisfaction. Someone say my satisfaction. 34. Someone say my satisfaction. Say my meat. Say my plan. Say my plan. Say my plan. Say, brother. So what's your plan? What's your plan? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? That's one of the most stupid questions I hate. Are we together? Where do you see everything in the next 5 years? Those questions are asked by people who are not minded with the things of God. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Where do you see yourself in the next 15 years? There's nothing wrong with having plans. Are we together? There's nothing wrong in wanting to come out with a first class. There's nothing wrong in wanting your business to have scaled through. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have started a business or multiplied. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have gotten married. Are we together? There's nothing wrong with wanting to have given birth to children. There's nothing wrong. Are we together? But oftentimes, that question is out of a life of a pleasure that has just essence in earthly things. So we feel like if after 5 years, that earthly thing, and then when that question is asked, you have to say something that will make you look, And after 5 years, if that is not achieved, then it looks like your life is worthless. No, my life is not worthless. I'm a laborer. I toil at God's work. My life is not worthless. Wait. Who is the one that defines worthlessness? Is it you? That don't know the second that you slept off? Is it you that did not know the second of the time that you slept off that defines worthlessness? No. The one who defines worthlessness is the one that sees after time to judge what has been done in time. What is the true waste and what is the true gain? So when he speaks now and defines what his purpose is, you run with it. That is essence of what gain is it of a man that he gains the whole world and loses his own self. He loses his own life. I have meat that you know not of. 34. My meat. Can we read it together, everyone? Want to go? My meat is what? To do the will. Say consume with his plan. I'm consumed. You know, there are two fires in the Old Testament that was called down. Two fires. And God was said to have not been involved in one. But there was another one that they said it was God. The fire on the sacrifice. Elijah had called down fire to consume the prophets of Baal. And we were told that God did not endorse that act. But there was a calling down of fire that it was God himself that responded. Are we together? So that when we say the Lord of Elijah that responds by fire, we know the events we are talking about. Right there, before. Are we together? No, not to consume the prophets of Baal, but to consume the army. Are we together? Of the Syrians. But there was one which he called down fire to consume what? The sacrifice. The animal sacrifice consumed. In fact, that illustration is then used in the New Testament books as a sign of total devotion to God. Consumed with his will. Consumed with his fire. In this conference, your heart will be reignited. My meat is to do the will of him that what? Sent him. And to what? To finish the work. See, a sign that it is God's work is that your orientation is not within, but toward him. If what you pant for, what you pant after, is to establish what is coming from here, it is not his plan. He says to do the will of him that sent me. So there is a sending. What are you sent to do? Not what have you found to do. The environment can instruct you. Your gender can instruct you. The environment already places some roles on some genders. Just because you are a lady, just because you are a young man in your 20s, even before your 20s these days, in your 20s, in your mid-20s, in your late-20s, in your 30s. And then the environment already begins to require from you certain things. A young lady in her 20s, in her 30s, and then the environment is already looking at you and saying, why have you not done this? Why? So people are already placing a question mark on you because of your gender and your age. No! Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? What have you been sent to do? What have you been sent to do? This meeting will help you to fall away, and it will help that strange burden, that responsibility that has not been put on you by God, it will fall off. And from the revelation of God's word and the empowerment of the Spirit of God and His grace, you will receive wisdom to navigate your life. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Let's take 35 together. Everybody wants to go. Say not ye, there are yet what? 4 months. And then comes what? The harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Say not, there are 4 months. Say not, there are 4 months. Say not there are 4 months to what? Read again. Say not there are 4 months to what? Say not there are 4 months to what? Do you know the meaning of that? Don't say I am too young to start this thing now. Is it clear? Is it clear? Say not I have 4 months. No. Say not there are 3 months. No. Say not, I have not yet graduated. No! Say not, I still have time. No. 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 No.
No.
No.
No!
Say not, there are 6 months. Don't say, I'm still in 100 level. When I graduate, I will start doing the things of God. He says, don't say it. See, the easiest thing in the life of a man is speaking. So he says, don't say it. It means don't think it. Let it not be reasonable to you that the reason why you can't get involved now is because you think you have time. Are you with me? It means, look at this, say not means don't entertain conversations that makes you think you are not ready for ministry. Don't be in conversations. Say not! Say not! Don't start the conversation. The moment you hear that that's where the conversation is going, don't entertain it. Are we together? Are we together? Say not. Say not, there are yet 4 months to harvest. Don't give excuses. Don't see excuses. Don't think excuses. Don't discuss excuses. You know, when you don't discuss it, it's not likely you will be the one to initiate that thought in others. You get what I'm saying? For you to start a conversation that waters down the passion of God in someone's heart is because you yourself, you don't have that passion. It takes the less committed to criticize or lure away the more committed. Even in natural, wealthy people don't caution you to not be diligent for money. It is people who don't have that same apparel. Do you get what I'm saying? Are we together? Because the pursuit of having money, when it is diligent, does not kill. Ishe oke pane, Ishe gan labuku. Are we together? Are we together? The work has never killed anybody. Work has never killed anybody. Working. You might need some wisdom to balance up. Maybe rest, maybe extents, maybe extremism. Are we together? But the art of working laboriously, diligently, toiling at something, giving your all, deploring your all, has never hurt anybody. Are we together, church? It takes the one who does not pray 3 hours to say that you pray 6 hours, you are doing more. You are doing more, or you are doing too much. It takes somebody who prays less than you or does not have a prayer life at all to say, why are you praying this much? Are we together? Say not. They are foremost towards to harvest. Look at the next text. Everyone, look at the next text. Pray for me this morning. Look at the next text. What does it say? It says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Say, my eyes are lifted. Say, I lift up my eyes. And look on the what? The fields. Look on the fields. To say, I have more time is a statement of blind people. Blindness to the field. Otuelo 4. Cataract. Someone say cataract. 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 Otueti baje. Otueti baje. Otueti baje. Glaucoma. Glaucoma. So when I'm looking at you like this, it will be as though you are in that far hostel. So he said, don't drive. Because the car that you are close to like this, it will be as though the car is miles away. Miles away. Miles away. The same condition, another high condition, is that what is far away, you now see like this. So you are trying to rush out what can always happen. Would you be budget? Are we together? Are we together? But Jesus is a healer. He will heal my signs. I will speak precisely. It makes your life make sense when you are precise. When you are precise, men may have comments that does not agree, but eventually they will come back to learn. You become a reference point later. They won't tell you that they fought you. They won't mention it again that they fought you. They won't mention again that they persecuted you, they slandered you, they denied you money for food. They denied him money for accommodation. They won't mention it again. That they stopped giving you things. They won't mention it again. Later on, they will call their kids. Say, ah, that girl. Then, look, we're ready by you. Please go and stay with that place. Because there's a sign with you. You now have the fruits. You now have the wisdom. A vision does not tell at the beginning. But eventually, it is seen. When we stick with the Lord and we abide with His grace, He strengthens us and writes the story of His faithfulness with our lives. Are we together, church? He says, say not. Don't see it that way. He says, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields. He says that the harvest is what? For, he says, they are white. Hallelujah. We are God's harvesters. We are God's laborers. Are we together? So he says to look onto the field right now. He says the field is white. The field is ready for harvest. The harvest is ready. The laborer should not say what? I am not ready. Don't say I have more time. The harvest is ready. Are we together? Are we together? Don't say I have more time. The field is wide. Don't say, I don't have this. I want to have this. I want to do this. I want to establish this. I want this to be done. I want that to be done. The field is wide. Look at me, church. Look at me. When I'm talking like this, it makes you sometimes think that, oh, he's saying that the fields are wide, I should get involved in evangelism. It means there are also aspects of your life that you will take care now because of the harvest. He's not saying harvest, so evangelism is now. He says you will live your entire life because the harvest is now. So there are many other aspects of your lives that must be handled in a way, taken care of in a way. There is a way to live now. There are decisions to make, not where you are ready for, but because the harvest now. So it's an harvest inspired lifestyle. He's not saying to postpone things. Are we together? He's not saying to postpone things. He's saying they harvest inspired lifestyle. So it might be different from you. What this person will do now might be different from you. What this person will let go, you may have to hold on to it now. What you hold on to, another person may have to let go it. Someone else might say, not now. The other person might say, I have to do it now. The other person might say, let's go. The other person might say, no, we can't go together. The other person say, I can't get involved again. The other person say, I can't be your friend again. The other person say, I need that friend. Because of the harvest. The other person might say, no, I can't be your friend again. Because of the same harvest, someone else can say, I should draw this person close now. Because he inspires the harvest in me. He inspires the work. He inspires me to be the Lord's laborer. The other one will say, no, it's time to drop friendship. This particular one, it's time to drop it. Because he waters down the zeal of the Lord. He waters down the compassion of the Lord. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Someone else will say, oh, the harvest. That means I can't take this kind of job. So I'm looking for another job. Someone else will say, the harvest. He gets out. It's time to get a job. It's time to get a job. Because of the harvest. It will inspire decisions. It will cause disruptions. It will cause rearrangements. Are we together? The plans that you have set for yourself, it will disrupt it. Because of the harvest. So don't say, I have time. Don't say, because it's not time for the harvest. I can know it is time for the harvest. The harvest is now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's more for us, church. There's more what? For us. So who is the laborer? Just like Jesus. Right there, from being baptized by John in Matthew 3, from around 11 down to 16, we see Jesus coming out of the water and he was praying. A laborer like Jesus is one who labors at prayer. He labors at praying. Mark 6:26. 46 rather, labors at praying. Luke chapter 5 and then in verse 16, he labors at praying. In Luke 5:16, he says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and what? Prayed. So, can we, because of the harvest, withdraw ourselves, come to a place just to pray? Can we have prayer retreats because of the harvest? That's what we just read. He withdrew himself a prayer retreat because of the harvest. In Luke 5:16, that was what he did. In Mark 1:35 again, we see Jesus. Mark 1:35. He says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed in a solitary place, and then prayed. Can we start prayer meeting before daybreak? Wait. Look at that text again. It says in Mark 1:35. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That is, before daybreak, a great while before day, is the path he went out. He left his room. He left his bed. He doesn't get up in the morning and he's doing like this on his bed. And then does up. No! He gets up. He comes out of his comfort zone. His comfort zone. He must have left his phone if he had one. He must have gone offline if he had a WhatsApp. He must have told important conversations that will suffer if he was going out in the morning, that I will not be what? Available as usual around this time. He must have set a structure. Why do you set a structure? Because what you want to do is vital. It's vital. So let there be no distractions as you pray. A toiler goes out to pray. Luke 22, 41 and 44, he went out to pray. Severally, he was out to pray. Trained his disciples to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. Before he started the ministry, he was praying. At the tail end of his earthly walk, he was praying. Are we together? The apostles called the same thing. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Luke 24, 49 was a prayer meeting until the day of the Pentecost. 40 days after God has risen from the dead, they began to pray, and then 10 days after. So they were there for 10 days when the day of the Pentecost was really coming. Acts 1, 14 and 15, it said they continued with prayer and supplication until the day of the Pentecost was really come. 10 days of prayer. Strange. And you and I are the fruits of that waiting on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength. And that waiting starts by what? Prayers. So waiting on God for strength begins with prayers. Prayers. Oh, we pray. And when we pray His will. We pray His work. We pray His mission. To gather to pray is not all there is to gather in His name. What are we praying about? It must be His purposes. Prayer is a tool that belongs to God, used by man to fulfill His purposes on the earth. I'll take it again. Prayer is a tool that belongs to God, used by man to fulfill God's plans on the earth. Prayer is not a selfish resource. It is a tool that God has given to man to make God's power available on the earth to fulfill His plans. Pray for yourself in this conference. Pray in this conference. Pray that as you pray in this conference, you will pray God's plans. There are things to pray out in this conference. There are things to see in this conference. Oh, someone and pray. Just one person. Just one person. Just one person. Just one person. Just one person.
pray for churches. We will pray for our churches. We will pray for ourselves. We will pray for our ministries. We will pray for ourselves.
ready for your holy fire. I will let you into my soul.
Let's sing that song.
Oh yes, I will be left only by the Lord.
Lift up your hands. I will open.
Open up my heart. Ready for your holy fire. I will let it into my mind, into my soul.
Here's what God has said.
Oh, Savior, I would be holy fire.
I will let you, Lord, in my ready, 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 ready. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, we are ready. Into my soul, in my desire.
Responding to your will, oh, I will open my eyes. Oh, we are ready, we are ready. Holy fire, let you into my mind, into my soul.
Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord.
Hallelujah. The hand of God is upon us to do mighty things. The hand of God is upon us to do mighty things. The hand of God is upon us to see great and mighty things. He says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you. The answer of God is revelation. Eyes open to see, ears open to hear. My heart will be set aright. My heart will be set aright. My heart will be set aright. Every drifting in my heart, every drifting in my heart will be mopped away by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I will catch fire, and men will catch fire through me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's have a seat for just 5 minutes.